and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest episode. This is our Australian Open review slash catch up.
slash it is.
Yeah.
Back here. I'm still catching up on sleep. I'm actually tired.
I was going to say, like, how are you? How are you doing after
I'm exhausted. I am exhausted. And I will never shut up about the crazy Australian Open hours. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's just, ugh.
Because I remember texting you, I think just before the start of the tournament, I was like, oh, don't you enjoy, like, the whole Australia swing? Like, kind of the late nights. And you were like, hell no.
You do because you like to sleep at crazy time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you do it, but, like, I just know, but I have to say, this is the first Australia Open where I pushed through and I was really like, I was staying up as much as I can.
You did well. I remember some matches. I was thinking, like, flipping out, like, it's what, Lucy's, 3-4 in the morning. I'm seeing
Lucy tweeting. There was one day where I actually did not sleep.
And you had work, obviously.
I had work. So, like, and the thing is, it was so late. I even started work early.
Mad.
Like, it was at 6 a.m. I was like, you know what? I'm just here chilling. I might as well just work.
So you didn't go to bed?
I didn't go to bed.
Crazy.
I didn't sleep. Yeah, but then as soon as work was done, I switched everything off and I was sleeping.
It was crazy though, in terms, because that's how we kind of know that's kind of how it is, like, for the start of the year. But like,
it's crazy how we never get used to it.
Yeah, you say that. I kind of am. I am kind of used to it.
Boy, that's
I say
you.
Used to it, like... Yeah, I don't like it.
But you're used to it because you do it even outside of Australia.
Kind of. Yeah. I'm a night owl. So for me, it's not as like deep, basically. But I understand and like I appreciate and respect the effort. Someone like you who you go to bed at a normal time.
Yeah.
And you wake up at a decent hour too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just completely messes up your whole kind of, yeah, like bedtime
flow. It's just different.
Flow.
Yeah, like, it's just different. But...
You made it. Well done.
I made it. Thank
congratulations.
You. Thank you.
and on that note, I think we should start with congratulating the champion. So let's start with the women.
Yes.
Irina Sabalenka, defending her title. Didn't drop a set.
Yeah, she didn't.
For the whole fortnight.
Yeah, she came in really... It's so... Do you know what? It's so funny because whenever we were speaking about it, like, Sabalenka did not come into my mind at all.
Really?
As in like on our...
Our preview pod.
Like when we're talking about winners and stuff, like I was thinking about so many other people, but Sabalenka, for whatever reason, she wasn't there. And not in like in a disrespectful way, like she can't play well. But for some reason, I just forgot about her. And then he was like, oh, but then I shouldn't have done that because she always makes her second week of Grand Slams, you know, and apparently she played, cause I didn't watch any of her matches before Australia Open.
Okay. But I don't think she played any.
She played Brisbane. She was at the final.
She played Brisbane. Okay.
Did she not win that?
I don't know if she played Brisbane. I don't think she played a warm up event.
She did.
I know Sinner didn't.
She did. But hold on, let me check here.
It was Rebecca.
Yeah, she was in. She was in the final. It was her, Rebecca. Yeah.
And Rebecca beat her.
Yeah, Rebecca beat her. But like, exactly. So she was playing strong. And I think even apparently some of the exhibition matches that she was playing at, apparently she was playing so well and everything. Yeah. So yeah, but shout out to her. Like the fact that she did, like she's a defending champion, you know, and it shows as well how much of a strong player that she is. Because from what I remember, so last year she won Australian Open. I don't know how well she played at the French Open. I can't remember. Wimbledon, she was at what, semi-finals, quarterfinals?
I think semis,
US Open final, and then boom, Australian Open.
She's the slams.
Like, this is really, and she has, outside of Grand Slam, she has mad titles as well.
She also reached number one as well last year.
Reached number one. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not mad at that at all. I like Sabalenka. She's, if I was a fan of her though, I would be stressed out.
Why?
Because watching a Sabalenka match as a fan of hers, yeah, you'd be so stressed out. But she has grown so much mentally. Like she's so much like stronger, like mentally and even physically. She's a very, very, very hard hitter as well. So yeah, shout out to her, man.
She did play well. I mean, the match we probably focused on the most of hers was against Coco.
Coco, yeah.
We'll speak about later on in terms of Coco's run. But I thought that match was a high quality match.
Mm-hmm.
And Coco had her moments. Like she could have won that first set.
Yeah,
like she was serving for the first set at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the kind of toughest match for Sabalenka throughout her run.
Mm-hmm.
In the final, she played Qin Wen Zheng. Shouts out to her being Chinese. I think the first Chinese to reach a final since Lina.
Yeah. So, and also now she's top 10 as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Number 7 in the world, which is a good look.
Crazy.
But everything you just said about Sabalenka, I completely agree with. Like, she deserves kind of be where she's at. And like, she's one of, if not the most consistent players, like on the WTA tour.
Facts, yeah.
I think it's just always nice as well. Like, there's been kind of discussion or talk about, her run was like too easy in terms of like, not so much the draw, but just...
I'm so sorry to cut you off, but I feel like so many people were talking about that, this Australian Open.
Yeah.
So many different players though.
Because I'm
mainly WTA players.
Yes, I'm saying, and I don't like that.
I'm with you.
For me, it's like, why can't there be a dominant player? Like, on the men's side, it seems like it's fine for that to happen. But on the women's side, it's like an issue.
No, it's true. A lot of times, the only time people mention easy draws or the only players is always with WTA players. And also, one thing that whenever I was seeing those comments, I always remembered what you said once in a pod where you were like, when it comes to Grand Slams, you don't know what to expect because everyone is on 10.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, everyone is on 10. The way some of these players were playing 2 weeks ago, another 250 or 500 is nowhere near at the Australian Open. Hence why, even for WTA, there was... Bro, respectfully, I was seeing names that I was like, who is this? Like, who are you? Like, really in a respectful manner. I was just like, yo, I do not know this name, but shout out to you for making it this far in it. Like, shout out to you. But it just shows to you how much, like, you don't know what to expect. So I'm not saying that, you know, pointing out the difference of someone's draw against like someone else's or saying how they play these type of players it's still a good point, but it's not a good, like, you can't say that's the only reason or make it seem like, oh, that happened. You look at someone's draw and you're like, oh, that's what happened. Yeah, that's how they won. No, that means you're also excluding everything else.
Exactly.
Their skills, their ability, their mental state, everything, the work that the team has been putting in and stuff. So if it's another small tournament, then whatever. Yeah. But when it comes to a Grand Slam, I'm so sorry. We can't always bring out the draws. Like, I'm not saying don't, but don't make it seem like that's the only reason why they won.
Or they progressed.
Or they progressed. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's even unfair to players as well.
I can't stand it. And I completely agree. So well said. On the men's side, we should shout out Jannik Sinner as well. First time Grand Slam winner.
Wow. Amazing.
I think he was like everybody's kind of tip to be the next one as well.
Yeah, like, yeah, he was.
It's nice how that's kind of happened at the first Slam of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So again, he was very impressive. I don't think he dropped a set until the semi-final.
He played really well, yeah.
So
he played really well,
up until the semi-final against Novak.
Mm-hmm.
He won that in four sets. That was the first match where he dropped a set.
Mm.
And then in the final against Daniil Medvedev, he lost the first two sets and then came back and won in five. So, yeah, big effort on Jannik Sinner's part.
Definitely.
I think he's a player as well. Like, everybody's kind of been speaking about to say, oh, yeah, like, he's the next one.
He's been grinding really hard.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny because I remember, like, 2 years ago, like, I remember everyone was saying it. They were saying, Jannik Sinner's the next one. And I was looking at, I think you even said it as well. And I was even looking at it, I was like... What? And then I was like, okay, you know what? Since everyone's going on about this, let me keep an eye on him. So last year when I saw him like grinding, I was like, okay, I see it. I got here late. I'm sorry, guys. I got here late, but at least I'm here. Shout out to Sinner. That's honestly incredible. I feel like he really like deserves it. And I'm just happy again to see another young player winning not just a title but a Grand Slam title.
It's a big deal.
And also, you know, playing against like really top players, like the fact that you're beating Djokovic, who hasn't lost at Australia Open since God knows when, and also Medvedev, who won there already, and who also had that experience, which as a fan of Medvedev, I was a bit heartbroken. I generally thought he was going to win that. And that's why I don't think I really even...
What, was in the final?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had Med. Because I was like, I thought Sinner might be in a like he's strong to like physically, he has everything to do it, but I thought there'll be like a mental block.
Okay.
That's what I thought will happen.
It being like his first time.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. Whereas what Medvedev, this is like his third Grand Slam final. He was literally in the same position this time last year against Nadal. This is also the second time he's been in a position where he lost the first two set of Grand Slam final. And yeah, so, you know, so tough. I generally had Sinner, but Shadrin had Medvedev, sorry. But it's just nice to see two players like them being there and just, you know.
Yeah, no. Well
said. So shout out to them.
Good look. I think we should start with the women in terms of like our kind of roundup. So yeah, let's go Coco first. So I thought she had a really good tournament in terms of reaching the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
She was the fourth seed. So according to seedings, that's where she was supposed to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Last four.
Yeah.
And like I said, in that match against Sabalenka, she had her moments in that first set. Like it was a straight sets loss, but it was a competitive match.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about first we should mention her fits.
So, amazing.
New Balance.
Amazing.
Props to New Balance.
Listen, clap. Exactly. Let's clap. People need to stop talking about Nike.
No.
In terms of for Coco. Because I remember when Coco won the US Open, everyone was like, Nike. Because you know, as soon as you're a Grand Slam champ, it's like, Nike.
Come,
and I'm
come
just
slap
like, yeah. No. She even made it very clear. Like, we team New Balance. But shout out to them. That looked so nice. Yeah. What, you know, because she had the yellow and the blue one and the navy one. Which one did you like?
So for me, yeah, and I'm a guy. Uh-huh. Obviously, I'm not an expert when it comes to like women's clothes,
mm-hmm.
but I loved her jackets. The jackets she was coming
out. Oh, the jackets were coming with it.
So
yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, the yellow one, obviously, this was when she was wearing the yellow kind of fit, and then the navy blue when she was wearing
the navy blue for the semi-final.
But I don't know. I think. Well, she was unbeaten in the yellow, wasn't she? So I'm gonna say yellow.
I'm saying yellow because bright colours on black women, 10 out of 10. The navy one was really nice, but for me, the yellow just stood out and it really like popped out the design.
I love the navy she was wearing actually in Auckland where she won. That was nice. But yeah, I agree. I think the yellow was probably popped a bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like in terms of her tennis though, like I thought she played really well. Like she, I loved mixed feelings about the match against
I know which one you're
Marta Kostyuk.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was like up and down. And like
it was a match where both players are like nervous and overthinking. Like I literally threw on my account. I was like, I need these girls to like, I know this is a big deal. I know what's going on right now, but everyone, let's breathe. Let's relax.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. Like both of them were just like, so I was just like, what is going on? But you could tell, it just shows to you how sometimes how bad you want it can come in so many different ways. And in that moment, it came in a way of like nerves and making so many errors and stuff. But for Coco to pass through that just shows to you how much she has grown
massively
as a player. Yeah. If this was 2-3 years ago, Coco would have lost that match immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that on her tough matches like that match and the one with Sabalenka, even though she lost in straight set, you could still see because there was moments. I think it was one set where she was even like a couple games ahead.
Yeah,
well,
the first set she served for it. So yeah. she was 6-5 up in that.
See, exactly, yeah.
First set.
So that's what I'm saying. Like it just shows to you, like I remember saying it on the pod that one of the things that she needed to work on was just finding a solution whenever there's like things are not going her way. And she has been doing that so well.
Yeah.
So yeah, honestly, like although that match was chaotic, it was also a nice moment to see the growth of Coco Gauff.
100%. I kind of said as well after that, like that's the kind of match where it's just good to have in your kind of bank in terms of for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you come through, like when you're able to get through moments like that, it's just good knowing that, wow, like I was able to push through, like winning the first set. I think it was a tiebreak against Kostyuk, and then she lost the second set in a tiebreak,
mm-hmm.
and then the third set it was like 6-2. Like so, she just basically locked in and then just got it done.
Yeah.
She is a better player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no disrespect to Kostyuk. That's mm-hmm. just the fact.
Yeah, 100%.
And I thought Kostyuk was actually quite good as well in terms of like how she kind of brought it too, because she knew she had to bring it.
Yeah.
And I think after the match, she said basically, yeah, she was playing, she just played one of the best players in the world. Like the girl's a super talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like really giving Coco like her props, which, yeah. which I did like.
Yeah.
Didn't like her husband's cap.
Can I tell you something? I was surprised that you actually made a tweet.
No, I had to, man.
I thought you, because normally I'm the chaotic one.
I don't think I was that chaotic, though, to be honest.
No, it wasn't chaotic, but do you get what I mean?
I hear you.
But
didn't like it. Bro, she's 19 years old. Like, there's no
it's
point.
No. It's not even, I don't even care about all of that. Listen, there's only one husband that was able to do that, but and that's because his wife was at a level that no one is at and no one will be at for a very long time. When you have someone like that, you can come up and be all confident and, yeah. and be, you know, because Alexis did the same thing when Serena was playing against Sharapova the first round in the US Open like a couple years ago. And it was the drug thingy.
That does ring a bell.
Literally, it was that... You know, it was like a little shady thing.
Yeah.
But his wife is the goal. You cannot do that when this is your first time your wife is making it this far at a Grand Slam. Listen, no, bare people, respectfully, bare people wouldn't even know about her.
People have been talking about Marta Kostyuk.
Okay. But now there's more about her because of who she's playing against.
Yeah, yeah.
All I'm saying is, if you're going to be moving like that, yeah, just know that, do your studies, do your homework, yeah?
Because honestly, I don't even like that coming from like, yeah, coming from Alexis even.
But, no, personally, I like it because, well, besides the fact I like chaos, it's just entertaining. These are the type of things that makes the sport entertaining.
Yes and no.
Why don't you like it?
Because it's too personal. Like that's literally like the competition between the players.
Okay.
You get it?
You know what? Maybe, okay. Let me take back the Alexis thing. Let me take Alexis, because that's not a good comparison, because there's actually been something between Serena and Sharapova. On and off the court.
Yeah, yeah. But they're fine now.
On and off the court, you know.
Proper cleaning up, like, as we go along.
So I get that. But with him, however, it just didn't make any sense at all. Because it's like, why would you do that when your wife is playing against a Grand Slam champion?
Yeah.
Listen, let me get something straight to you guys. Do not think that Coco Gauff is only going to win that one slam and go. Let's get that very clear. She's going to be here for a while. She's going to win those slams. She's going to be number one. She's going to keep on winning. So don't come here with your hats and trying to do little jokes. It's not happening, bro. If you're going to do that, make sure that when your wife comes on court, she's winning their matches respectfully. Mic drop.
I like that, Lucy. That was hard.
I'm just saying.
That was hard.
Because I think that's why he had the confidence to do what he did.
Yeah, no,
he did that because for him, he was looking at Coco like, what? Her? Yeah, he's no. This is not Coco Gauff from two, three years ago. We have Coco Gauff from
US
today.
Open champion.
US Open champion. Get it right.
Put some respect on her name, man.
Put some respect on it.
But no, I thought it was a great match. And I did like, there was nice mutual respect between both of them as well at the end with the embrace at the net.
Yeah.
You know, I'm big on that.
Like, yeah,
love,
you are, yeah.
I love all that kind
and
of stuff.
And even her, back to the hat thing, she actually addressed it with a little shady comment. She was like, shake your...
I was going to say, was the dance at the end, was that not...
See, I don't know. I thought it was the same as well.
I thought that was what
I
she
was wondering
doing, like...
if the dance also was a reply to the hat. If I was her, I would even looked, made eye contact with him like...
Because I'd like to think,
and then
it is.
she did it on IG story.
Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think, because everyone was sharing the dance, but no one was putting the two and two together. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe I'm over exaggerating. So the fact that you said it, you know, says something.
I think it was, but yeah, we'll
see.
Yeah, maybe Coco can tell us.
Coco, tell one us.
But no, shout out to Coco Gauff. I think, well, yeah, she's also now back up to number three in the world as well after that run. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like she's just doing all the right things. Like, I think also we tweeted she's reached the semi-finals or better at all the Grand Slams now, mm-hmm. apart from Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like she's done
which
that as a
we
teenager.
Would do this year.
Like, yeah.
Facts.
We just need Wimbledon to balance everything up. It's coming this year. So yeah, shout out to Coco Gauff. Jasmine Paolini.
Boy.
What a tournament she
hey.
Had. So she reached the second week for the first time mm-hmm. at any major.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also her first major where she was actually seeded.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I did watch most of, I say what I watched. Yeah, I watched all her matches.
I think I watched most of them all.
She played Diana Schneider in the first round. Won that in straights. Yeah, she didn't drop a set as well up until
the match she lost. Yeah.
But the match that really blew me away was the one against Anna Blinkova.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Who obviously knocked out Rybakina in the previous round.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, the way Paolini came out, like she was just firing.
Was it that was the one with the delays, right?
Yes.
The one where the matches started late. Yeah, I remember. She was blazing.
She was on a mission.
All those rounds, she was just like, pew, pew, pew. There was one, I can't remember if it was that match or the match just before, the round before that, where her matches was just...
I think it was Tatiana Maria.
I think the one with Maria. Bro, I was like, Paolini, who's chasing you? Who's actually chasing you? What's going on? This girl was wasted. That first set, it blew.
Yeah, she was flying.
It was only the second set that it started a bit, you know, because like Tatiana started like picking up. But that first set, she wasted no time. Pew, pew, yeah, pew, pew. Yeah. I was like, raw. But now I am so happy for her. It shows, you know, how much she's been working so hard and stuff.
We said it as well at the start of the year. Like she's kind of come out.
Mm-hmm.
With a different kind of energy.
Yeah.
You saw it at the United Cup. Yeah. Like,
more aggressive.
Yeah. She's playing like she's a top 30 player. Like she belongs in the top 30. And like now, I think, yeah, we'll be able to see more of that like at the bigger tournaments, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. She's more aggressive. She's hitting like really hard as well. She was moving so well.
Yeah. That's what impressed me the most, actually, the aggressive like nature of her play, because she's kind of more known for being like defensive because of her kind of build. She's small, like she's a great mover.
Yeah.
But like she was attacking.
She was. And I always said that her power was one of her strongest, but I kind of feel like a lot of people underestimated that. I don't think a lot of people realize it. And I always knew it, but I knew it for certain when I finally watched her play at Eastbourne last year.
Okay.
And like even people around me were like, looking Jesus. At her like, bro, like, what is going on? Like, that is Paolini. But honestly, shout out to her. The fact that she made it all the way to that fourth round was just amazing. And she should just keep going. I know she's at Linz right now. She did unfortunately lose.
Yeah, lost in the first round.
The first round to Katie. But she's playing doubles. So, you know, because you know she plays her doubles.
Yeah,
so shout out to Jasmine.
Alicia Parks. So she reached the third round. Again, that's the furthest she's reached at a Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she was knocked out by Coco Gauff in straight sets.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, again, props to Alicia.
Which was a very nice moment.
It was nice seeing that. And did you watch her press like before that match? So after her second round match? Because obviously after the second round, she knew she was going to be playing Coco in the third mm-hmm. round. And... it's the thing with Eurosport or Discovery Plus, whatever it is.
Oh yeah, you can watch the press. Yeah, it's really so cool. Good. Yeah,
but I think it stopped after. I'm not sure. Like, but I wasn't able to see it. Like after in the second week, it wasn't there. I don't think.
Yeah, I saw the box there, but I never really clicked on it.
Okay.
Sometimes I was, you know, when there's actually a player there and it's just, but you're not actually clicking on it. I saw it, but I didn't really realize.
But it's a nice feature because it kind of makes you like,
I just go on YouTube. But the thing is, the issue with that is that I even try to put my notification up on the Australian Open channel. So then when a video is up, I get a notification. But the problem is that as the day goes, I'm forgetting to go. It's only till I open Twitter that I see a clip, but yeah.
But yeah, she was talking about the match, obviously, before playing Coco, just saying how yeah, like obviously they've known each other for a while as well. Yeah. And like it was going to be a special moment. And it was, you said.
Yeah.
And even Coco had some nice things to say too.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that like she's one of the most, what did she say? She's one of the most athletic players like in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like as in put her in like the top five, yeah. Which is a big statement.
Yeah.
But yeah, Coco won that pretty comfortably in the end. I think that match for Alicia, like it was, I don't want to say like overwhelming, but I think, I don't know, the overwhelming is not the right word. I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but Coco's experience like kind of won out on that.
Yeah.
And like obviously Alicia's not really been to that kind of stage before at a Grand Slam. So it wasn't like a massive surprise to kind of see her not able to like perform to like her best abilities.
Yeah.
But it will come. Like 100%. The crazy thing is as well, what, she's 22 or 23?
Yeah.
Coco's 19.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yet Coco's the more experienced one, like in these situations, which is kind of crazy. But again, it just shows like that's the game. Like,
but I think they had a different route as well because Coco never went through juniors. Exactly.
No, Coco did play juniors.
Alicia, but she didn't play.
Alicia didn't.
Oh,
yeah. Because Coco won. She won the French. I think she won the French Open juniors. Coco. But yeah, Alicia, she didn't go the junior route. So exactly, that also plays into it too. But yeah, they're both professional players. Like.
Yeah.
On the WTA tour, which is great to see. So yeah, shouts out to Alicia Parks, man.
For sure.
And I think again, like her game, she's shown that she can kind of play on all the surfaces.
Yeah.
So obviously now we've got like it's a bit of a hard swing before we get to the clay. But I'm expecting her to do some good things. Like she's got Lyon to defend coming up soon, which is indoors. And then she does have a decent record indoors, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully she can like rack up some wins.
Yeah.
Heading into like the French and stuff.
Definitely.
Sloane Stephens, we should talk about. She reached the third round. She took out the 14th seed, Daria Kasatkina, in the second round. And that was in three sets. So she lost the first set, came back and won it.
Yeah.
In three. But yeah, the match against Anna Kalinskaya. So I said she was playing on an empty stomach.
Yeah, you did.
Because she had her like sushi and like, what was it, shakes?
Yeah. But did you see her tweet though? Because someone added her. It was like, oh, he actually even took a screenshot of the food and was like, and even, I think he tagged her on the photo or something like that.
Yeah, she replied. Let's get it up.
He was like, what, Sloane? What is going on here? And she was just like, she was hungry. And that was the only thing that her team could actually find. But I'm like, bro, a smoothie and sushi. Maybe athletes are different, innit? Tennis players are different. But if you give me smoothie and sushi, sorry.
It was Christian Court?
Yeah.
Or Christian's Court. So yeah, he tweeted that picture. We'll put it up on YouTube so you'll be able to see it. But yeah, he said, smoothie and sushi during a match is crazy, Sloane.
Yeah.
Like, crying emoji. And like you said, the screen grab of like the, yeah.
The food.
I think I said, like Uber Eats. Like,
yeah, you were like, yeah.
Uber Eats coming courtside. That's kind of mad. But like you said, so she just said, in response to that, Sloane said, we had a long first set. I was hungry, and this is all my team could find. And then, like, yeah, two emojis. But listen, I think, yeah, like, when you're hungry, you gotta eat,
bro. A smoothie, I can. But then again, it depends on the type of smoothie it is. If it's like a banana smoothie, you're done.
I don't eat sushi, so I don't really know how like it digests.
See, I was just about to ask you, like, could you ever eat sushi and then run? Because you're a runner as well. Anyways,
I probably wouldn't.
I don't know, man.
But I'm not a professional athlete.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Maybe with these athletes, it's different, innit? But all I know, if you give me sushi and smoothie, I'll be like, you know what? I'm done with this match.
That's a slump.
Let me go. I don't even want to risk eating and then running like that. But yeah, it is what it is. She got her food anyways.
But no, shouts out to Sloane. I think the win against Kasatkina. That was big.
Yeah,
obviously Kasatkina is a top 20 player.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, Sloane, she was playing with like intention.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was kind of talk about, oh, like, I think it was Nick Kyrgios coming out and saying, oh, like, Sloane, because he was doing a lot of commentary throughout the whole Australian Open. Mm-hmm. And just doing a lot of like social media stuff as well.
Yeah,
like,
he's been active.
Very, very active. I don't mind seeing that, like, in terms of players. We kind of had it with Chris Eubanks as well, saying it's good to have a player's
insight. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm down for it.
In the commentary box.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Sloane was playing with a lot of intention, like, and there was desire and will to like win matches, which was good to see.
Yeah.
So as I'm just looking here, Felix Auger-Aliassime, he was actually a breakdown. He's now leading in the first set. So let's go. So yeah, shouts out to Sloane, man, reaching the third round. And again, I don't think she'd lost in the first round of Australia.
Wait, you didn't continue your Nick thing? Or was that all you had to say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to say more. Sorry, my bad. Go on.
Oh, what?
No. No, I actually thought, but I didn't realize you were, because I didn't know he was commentating Stevens.
No, he wasn't commentating her match. I'm just saying what he was saying before.
Oh, before the Australian Open.
Saying, oh, like, Sloane's a quality player. Like,
Yeah.
Basically, she needs to play with more effort.
Yeah. And, like, looks like she, like, listen, I bet you any money.
She definitely sees.
She saw that. She was at bet. She saw that video and she was like, I'm gonna show you. You know, you're out here talking.
Would Nick say that to her face? Ooh. Maybe you'll edit that out. I'm joking.
No, why we edit it out? That's a very good question. Would Nick actually say to that Sloane's face?
I hope you would. It's bold.
Because the reason why it's hard to answer is because we know that he's chaotic when it comes to like outside, but we don't know how he is privately. Like the way he talks on court, is that how he talks in the locker room?
Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. So it's hard to answer that.
Who knows?
He probably won't though, because Sloane Stephens is a married woman, and I know for sure that her black husband gone. You know, he's not gonna take no business, no nonsense from anybody.
Oh, Josie out the door. Shouts out. But yeah, back to the women. So Naomi Osaka, I think we should talk about her as well.
For sure.
That was a first round blockbuster against Caroline Garcia, we should actually say.
Which?
Quite frustrating though, because, sorry to cut you.
No, go on.
But like, a lot of anticipation coming into that match. Obviously, Osaka being a two-time champion, and like, her first slam back. And Caroline Garcia being the player she is, you know, a lot of excitement, quite rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
And it did live up to it. Like, obviously, Osaka lost, but again, it was competitive and it was a straight sets defeat. But what annoyed me is the fact that, Garcia then loses in the second round to Magdalena Freck. Like,
No.
Okay.
Not only did she just like lose, she did not play nowhere near the same good tennis that she did on that first round.
You always say it though, like players, they bring it. Come on.
And that needs to be reminded to the people that are chatting crap. Oh, okay, and that was annoying me. Because some people were saying it and people were like, oh no, you know, Osaka is this, Osaka that, da 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 da. When these time, Garcia said that she cried when she saw that she was playing against Osaka the first round. She was like, what the F? And I don't blame her, because it's like, first of all, this is a four-time Grand Slam champion. And yes, she'd be out of the game, but when we watch her play at Brisbane, she didn't look like somebody that's been out for so long. So I understand why Garcia wanted to cry. So why are you people trying to pretend like Osaka's not a big deal for them to be shook and scared? We told you guys, these girls were scared. We were literally saying it on the pod, these WCA players saw that Osaka's coming back and was like, what the hell are we going to do? What is going on? And she got them out there playing their best tennis. Garcia was playing really well. Personally, I think I said it on the pod, which a lot of people were saying, even in the comments on YouTube and stuff, like they were like, wow, Lucy, like, I'm surprised that you're saying that you think it's going to be a tough one. Not only I explained it already with Garcia, like she's one of them players where she has improved a lot. And I feel like people kind of forgot, because last season it was a bit up and down.
Yeah.
But on top of that as well, these women know you know, like, they're playing against Osaka, it's not going to be an easy match. She even said it as well. She was like, yo, she was playing really well. Like, she couldn't believe this how well she was playing, despite her being off court for like so long. So, honestly speaking, the way, not in a negative way at all, I wasn't too surprised the way that the match went. I personally did not think it would, I knew it was going to be a tough one. Maybe at least one set, but I didn't expect so much from Osaka, to be honest, to be very honest with you. Like, that was her third match of the year. Third match of the year, and then you have, I'm not even going to say.
Yeah, and she hasn't played, she hasn't played, what, 15 months?
Third match of the year. Yeah. And it's just like, new body, new environment, new everything. Like, she's not, it's not a, like, she just gave birth.
Yeah.
Her child is not, hasn't even started crawling yet. You're out here. Do you get what I mean?
It's kind of been like kind of well publicized as well. Like, in terms of like, she's at the very early stages of her comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And also her coach, Wim Fassett, he's also said that like, basically he's not expecting much at the start of the year. It's at later all. On.
Yeah.
So like the US hard court swing, that's where he's saying that's where she's going to be playing her like best tennis.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like basically this whole year is a free hit for Osaka.
Exactly. Exactly.
Basically. But
exactly.
I don't think we should be expecting anything special like, yeah, at these first tournaments that she's playing.
Did you hear him? Did you hear him? Because some of you were out there just
It's just good to see. And I am with those people because it's like an excitement thing. Like,
no, in a negative way.
Oh, okay.
Like, do you get what I mean? Like, making it seem like, basically forgetting the fact that she's not been playing not a new mum and stuff like that. Saying that, oh yeah, this match was that. It's like, because she didn't have like any break points at all.
Yeah.
So it was just like, okay, but this is her third match of the year and she's playing against Garcia, who's someone who's improved her game so much. And Garcia has never played like that before. That's another thing as well. It's like everyone was out here talking about how Osaka was doing this, but it's like, yo, for those who are not watching, Felix just won the first set and Eugene has like his laptop all, you know, on the side over there trying to watch the match, and he just won the first set. So let's keep going.
Let's go, Felix.
But Garcia played like crazy.
Yeah,
I was like, Garcia, allow her, man. Allow her at least one break point. Like, she's a new mom.
She was on it.
She's a new mom.
But also we have to talk about Osaka's fit. So the Nike kind of came through, as they always do for Osaka, actually.
They do. Yeah.
So she had a custom like dress. It was a dress, wasn't it?
It was a dress. One piece.
The jacket as well. Short.
I loved the jacket. I loved the jacket.
It wasn't
much.
Sequin. It was just shiny.
It was just like I forgot the name of the thing, but it was really really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was warming up in that as well, which was quite
but
nice.
But she
to
did
see.
Say, she's like, I don't care. I'm wearing this again. So I'm hoping when
we'll bring it out in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that wraps up the women. Let's go over to the men now. So let's start with Ben Shelton, last year's quarterfinalist. He reached the third round, went down in epic fashion to Frenchman Adrian Manarino in five sets. And it was like, that was one of those matches as well that started, I didn't have any sleep. So that started at like, what?
Yeah, I remember,
5 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
Maybe even later.
And it was a long ass match.
And it finished at like, 11, going to 12. Uh-huh. I was like, geez, I had work at like 2 o'clock. Anyway.
I remember. Yeah, and I think I messaged you. I was like, can you go to bed? I was like, can you actually go to bed?
Watching that match, I was like, Ben... And I said this to you after the match as well. I was like, I was so frustrated seeing all the tweets saying, oh my God, like, how could he lose to Manarino? Like, he's a seed.
Everyone was saying that. Yeah.
I was so annoyed.
I was annoyed too.
Like,
those tweets pissed me off.
People need to realize, and we've said this before, like, we said it last year. Ben Shelton, he is like, his ranking, it's basically, he's playing above where he's at, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like, there's a term, I can't figure the term, and I used it last year, but like, he's a victim of his own success.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he kind of burst onto the scene, had these massive results, like early on in his career, the ranking like shot up.
Yeah.
And yet he was like a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it? So like this is his first season as like, well, a sophomore, you would say, isn't it? It's his second year.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's kind of more used to kind of the environment and like the kind of traveling and like what it all kind of entails now. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, it's only his second year. Like he's still kind of learning as he's going along. So there needs to be more like grace.
Facts.
And just acknowledgement of that.
Yeah.
And that's something for me that does frustrate me, like kind of when I do read the tweets, which I try to stay away from them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I know players see it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what irritates me. I was like, if you're a fan, and a lot of these guys are fans of him,
mm-hmm.
like just tweet some like positive shit. Forget the negativity.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
But yeah, just back on his tennis, like, who did he play in the second round?
Batista.
Batista Agut in the first round. He got through that in
straight sets.
No, I think it was four sets.
No, it was straight set for Batista.
Was it straights?
Yeah. And then he played against Christopher O'Connell.
O'Connell. So yeah, the O'Connell match.
That one wasn't. He lost the third set.
Yeah. And that was on John Cain Arena. The same... No, it wasn't. So yeah, John Cain Arena is like one of the show courts,
mm-hmm.
but it's like obviously smaller than Rod Laver, but the atmosphere for that match.
Mm.
Obviously, O'Connell's Australian. So like he had all the Australian
of fans course.
Going
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
And like Ben's a likable guy.
Yeah.
So like it was weird like seeing...
When it was the other way around.
Yeah, but he still had a good amount of fans, like mm-hmm. basically
course, yeah,
rooting
no,
him on,
yeah,
which was
yeah,
good
yeah.
to see. And he acknowledged that as well at the end of the match, which I loved.
Mm.
And also just shows how like he's so aware of
mm-hmm.
like...
Mm-hmm.
where he's at.
Yeah.
And like that for me as well, as a fan watching,
mm-hmm.
I love the fact, well, I love knowing that a player is like engaged with the crowd.
Yeah.
Because that adds to it, like
100%,
in terms of the experience.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, the atmosphere was electric. And he was like, oh yeah, sorry, your guy lost. But like, yeah, the support was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, keep bringing it basically. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the match against Adrian Manarino, he had like his French contingent all mm-hmm. going crazy.
Yo,
as well.
What was going on in the Australian Open this year?
Yeah, they were a
the
lot.
The French fans were going. I was loving it though. It was bringing like
cool.
a nice like atmosphere. Like when Monfils was playing, when Arthur Fils was playing.
Yeah.
Like
I love with Fils as well. They had someone was wearing like the French football shirt, but they had his name. They had Fils's name on it.
See, this
I was
what
like,
I'm
that
saying.
Is hard.
Even when Garcia was playing as well, she was even like she was blown away. Like
yeah.
you could even during the match, you could see that it was really like making her feel good. So shout out to those French fans that were just training open, man. Like you guys really brought the energy.
But back to Shelton though, like I feel like basically, yeah, reaching the third round, yeah, he reached the quarters last year.
Mm.
It's a good run. Like
yeah.
considering it's the second time playing the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
Like
against a player who's been playing for so
a vet. Exactly.
Long.
Adrian Manarino is a vet.
Like he's like what, 36, 35?
I want to say he's like, yeah, he's my age. So yeah, 35, 36.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, what did you make of Shelton? Like
honestly, it's hard for me to say anything because I agree with everything you said that was just spot on.
Mm.
I wasn't like too like fast or like crazy about him like losing. I was like, yeah, you know what, third round, it is what it is, we go again. Do you get what I mean? Like I still feel like he's gonna have like a great season 100%. Anyways. And he was still playing like really well, and it's not a match that he lost in straight sets. That match was five sets.
Yeah.
It went out for a very long time. So yeah, shout out to him. In a way, I do have to admit, if he won that match and then it led into Ben versus Djokovic, I wanted to avoid that.
Novak, yeah.
Only because of the online tweet, like the tweets and the comments and stuff. I did not have it in me to deal with that again because we dealt with it before, twice. Because Mr. Novak doesn't want to let that US Open situation. Well, not even just him. Actually, no. Let me take that back. Yes, him. Because initially I was going to say him. No, hear me out. I was going to say him and the journalist. But the journalist has asked questions to Ben about the situation multiple times. But he keeps it respectful and clean and quick and tells him straight like, hey, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's move on. It's a new season. why can't Novak do that?
It is poor Novak's part.
It's really poor. And then when I replied back to Quentin Moyes' like tweet when he tweeted for L'Équipe, which I was so taken back at that comment. Because obviously he tweeted in French. I was so taken back, I hit the translation because I was like, there's no way. I refuse to be this way it is. Yeah, let's be clear. And when I was making like the statements, the replies and the stuff that people were saying, I was just like, what? Mm. Either way, we're in a new season. I really hope that we can move on from this, but I generally had no, I did not want a Novak versus Ben at the moment. Cause so much happened before. If it happens, if there's another opportunity again, let's do it then. But the fact that there was drama between them two, which I think Novak is bored as well. I think he was just bored and just wanted to pick up or something because it wasn't the first, or maybe it really did bother him. I don't know. But either way, it is what it is. Shout out to Ben Shelton. You know, we'll see you again.
He's a top 20 player. So
exactly, yeah. So it is what it is.
Francis TFO. So he reached the second round. He lost to Thomas Makach of the Czech Republic. And like for me, it's like when when we talk about like players bringing their A game,
mm-hmm.
never seen Makach play so well.
Mm.
Like he was playing an unbelievable level.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely took TFO aback. Like he was shocked at what he was seeing. Mm-hmm. But I said here, I was laughing because that match, well, the winner of that match would have played Karen Khachanov. And like, yeah, basically for the past 2-3 years,
mm-hmm.
TFO has always met Khachanov in a third round at a Grand Slam, whether mm-hmm. it was Australia or Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Australia's been twice. He lost to him last year in the third round. The year before that, I'm pretty sure it was Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before that, I think it was Australia again. But yeah, he just always plays Khachanov in the third round at
mm-hmm.
Slams, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Makach ended up losing to Khachanov in the third round. But yeah, with TFO, obviously he's going to be disappointed because like, that's the second round loss.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't really think there's any kind of way to, I don't know, paint it to kind of, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
maybe you could help me out. I don't know, like...
What I will say is you could see a difference in his game. Even before Australia Open, even at Hong Kong, what's his coach's name again? His new coach?
Diego Maiano.
Diego, yeah. You can see, like, I think Tiafo was saying how, like, they'd be working really hard and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, we can see it.
Mm.
Like, he was moving so much better. And there was a little bit more strength as well. I don't know. I think... I was having a hard time figuring out what was going on, but I don't know. I don't know if it was a thing where he was nervous or something. Something was up. I feel like something was up.
I just feel like Makach was playing at a level that like, yeah, took him by surprise. And really, it was annoying because, yeah, he beat Borna Coric in the first round, mm-hmm. and that was a really he played so well.
Yeah,
and I was expecting that to be tough.
Exactly. See, that's the thing. No, but that match was tough, and you can see that he was trying to get it through. So for me, I thought, oh, okay, if you had to battle that much for that first round, we're clear. Like we're good. So that's why when he came to the second round and then how he was going. I was a bit surprised. I was like, raw, like, all right. I genuinely think there was something going on mentally.
Maybe.
I think there was something.
Maybe.
Or maybe you're right. Or maybe it was a thing where he was taken back at the level of his opponent.
Yeah, I do feel that level was just, probably played. That's probably one of the best matches Makach has played.
Mm.
So, like, I guess that is credit to Francis. But
yeah,
he's going to be disappointed only reaching the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Another player that reached the second round. So basically, Ben did the best. He reached the third.
Yeah.
And no. To be fair, Felix, we just completely skipped past Felix.
Oh yeah, that's true. We skipped. Well, he's on the screen,
that's why. but yeah, he reached the third round. Played that marathon first round match against Dominic Thiem.
Dominic Thiem. When I saw that, I was like...
Lucy, I couldn't watch that all. I fell asleep. Because I that was, again, that started a stupid time for us.
What time did that start?
That started in the morning. So that started
Okay, that means I definitely watched it.
Yeah, that started at like 8, I think.
Yeah, I did watch it. Yeah, and I did watch it. One, yeah.
Possibly 2.
Yeah, it like finished quite late. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's
crazy.
The longest match he's... Yeah, that's the longest match of Felix's career.
Yeah.
Like, he's never played a match that long. And he won in 5.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean... But it's funny because everyone was making fun of it. Be like, yeah, this match is going to be one long ass match. Like everyone, when we saw the draw, it was like, oh, Felix versus Thiem, like crazy.
And that's exactly
But
how it
yeah, really
out.
Happy that, speaking of Thiem, he actually, I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
He said that if this year doesn't go as well, like he might just leave it, which is as if, I'm not gonna lie, I would be really hurt. Like when I saw that, I was like, nah, this is sad, man. Like I had high hopes for Thiem. Like he was out here making Nadal nervous.
US
like
Open
crazy.
Champion.
US Open champion. He was killing it at the French Open. The French Open, we were always like, yeah, Thiem will be a French, like, yeah, we'll be a champ there.
No, but so, yeah, hopefully he has a good year.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm hoping that he pulls it off. But yeah, Felix, honestly, this is a great start of the year.
Yeah.
Good start of the year.
I was a bit disappointed though, Lucy. I'm sorry.
The reason why I'm saying good start is because of, look at his season last year.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying the match against Daniil Medvedev. So he beat Hugo Grenier in the second round, Frenchman. And that was in 4 sets. And then, yeah, the third round, it was Daniil Medvedev where he lost in
Listen. Medvedev. I love you. I really do. You are my hard court specialist. But the fact that this guy always plays his best tennis against black players needs to be studied. That one, he finished in straight sets and he was done. When there's a black player, like Medvedev's just like, nah, we're going to make this quick, short, and I'm going to
Because before that match, that's where Medvedev, he played Imel Rusevori.
Yeah, and he played it that, like, for like 10 hours. So I thought, okay, yeah, he'll be tired.
That's what
he
I'm
did
saying.
Not even let my boy get even one set in. I was like, bro, come on, man. I think that's the only match where he did not drop a set.
I don't know. But I was expecting Felix to cause some damage, man. And like, it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And going in, I was like, this is his moment. Because I don't think he's ever beaten Medvedev.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Either way, the record is bad.
Yeah, yeah. The head-to-head is thingy.
Yeah. I just thought, this is it. Medvedev's completely...
I mean, the reason why I'm not too mad now, Medvedev is a finalist.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Australian Open champ as well. Oh, no, US Open champ. Mm. So, like, he's a Grand Slam champ. So, that is why it was easy for me to be like, you know what, I'll take it.
I was also thinking back to the match they played, I think, 2 years ago. And that was a 5-setter. Mm. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Again, Felix had his moments.
Yeah.
I think it was a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
Felix had his moments in that match, man. Yeah. But yeah, this third round didn't live up to it.
I have faith in Felix.
But like you
year.
Said, it's a good run.
A good, like,
third round, you know, at a Grand Slam. Good win against Dominic Thiem.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's no shame losing to Medvedev.
Exactly.
Like, eventual runner-up.
Exactly.
Let's shout out... Well, two more players I want to talk about. Arthur Thies as well. So
yes.
He reached the second round. Got a really good win against Yuri Vesely in the first round, actually. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, lost to Talon Grigspor.
Mm-hmm.
He was seeded. He's one of the top, well, I say top 30. He definitely, I'm pretty sure he was seeded.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's where I saw like the French... like crowd,
yeah.
And I was like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, for one, I don't know why there are so many French people.
I was just like, what's going on?
But it's good to
but
see.
It was nice.
They all like get behind their sports mm-hmm. people, which is nice. But yeah, again, for Feast, man, that's just second round of the Grand Slam. He's 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are good learning experiences for him.
Yeah.
So I think, again, it will stand him in good stead for the rest of the year.
Definitely.
And yeah, shouts out to Christopher Eubanks, our guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was draped in his new Jay Lindberg
strip. A lot of people were loving it as well.
It did look good.
It was dope.
So we saw it for two matches. So because obviously he lost to Andre Rublev in the second round. But he did get a good win against Taro Daniel.
I actually thought that match was going to be a very... Yeah. Yeah, but he...
Daniel coming in from Auckland, he lost in the final.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's coming in like...
And he's... Yeah, exactly. And he sometimes can be a bit
But he beat Shelton, didn't he? So...
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, shouts out to Eubanks, who's now actually with the US Davis Cup team.
Yes.
Where that kind of wraps, well, I say wraps up. That wraps up our kind of Australian Open.
Out of 10, how would you rate?
I enjoyed it, Lucy. Like, I thought it was a... For me, it's always one of those ones where, like, yeah, it's just a nice way to start the year. And I like the fact that we have, well, on the men's side anyway, we've got a new Grand Slam champion. Mm-hmm. So I'd say it was up there for me. What about you?
Out of 10.
Out of 10? Oh, that's tough. Because we didn't get a win, I'm going to say 7.
Okay, I'm going to say 6.
Oh, okay. I thought I was being harsh. Why 6?
Actually, I take that back. I think 7. Yeah, 6 is harsh. I'll take it. Yeah, sorry. So, okay, why I was 7 deep then? In it. Well, 1 as well. No black paper. We had Coco all the way semi-finals. And I don't know. There wasn't like... Those... I think the men's side was a bit for me.
Yeah,
in terms of like the match, they were just long. It was just rallies. Just long ass rallies. It's just like, come on, do something.
To be fair, we didn't have a winner, you know.
How dare us? We left with something. Listen, hey.
I love that.
Men's, women's, not happening. Girls, doubles. We're going to leave with something.
I'm leaving it with something. So yeah, shout out to Tyra Katarina Grant, or just Tyra Grant, 15-year-old, and Iva Jovic, 16-year-old. They secured the girls' doubles title.
Mm-hmm. And this is her second one, right?
Second Grand Slam, exactly, doubles title. So she won the French Open with Claire V. Last year. But yeah, like, brilliant way to kind of close out, to start the year, the first slam of the year. There's kind of a lot of talk about her kind of being someone to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously she's only 15, so you don't want to put pressure on her. Yeah. But yeah, the fact that she's winning Grand Slams already, like, clearly a talent.
Facts.
So definitely a name to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice that we left. So you know what? I'm going to give it an 8. Because we...
I'm giving it a 7.5.
I'm giving it a 7.5,
mainly because I'm in, like, you know, the ATP were out here giving me long ass matches, like, bro, I want to go sleep. Come on. But yeah.
So yeah, shouts out. And yeah, happening now. So we've got Michael Moe playing in Montpellier.
Yes. He reached like his first quarterfinals.
So yeah, he reached his first quarterfinal since February of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, as we record this tournament's still going on.
Yeah, and then I think he's playing tomorrow.
Yeah, Friday, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we've also got Eubanks, Fils, and Elias Zimmer in Davis Cup action. Mm-hmm. Today.
Where's that Davis Cup again?
So they play in, because they're,
It's different. Oh yeah, true.
So like their home ties for some and away ties. So I think, USA, they're playing Ukraine, but they're playing in like Lithuania. Because and actually Eubanks is playing, so he was actually just, I don't want to say reserve, but he wasn't due to play any matches, but Taylor Fritz has pulled out,
right? Okay.
So Eubanks is stepping in. That'd be quite nice to see. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be his debut as well in the Davis Cup.
I think so, yeah.
So yeah, good luck to Eubanks.
Mm-hmm.
Instead we had, did we talk about Linz? We did. We said Paolini. She lost in the first round.
Yeah, she lost first round, yeah. And I think that was...
Parks, she also lost in qualifying. But she's playing doubles, though, with Asia Muhammad.
But they just lost right now. Yeah. Literally, because I just got the notification.
Annoying. Okay.
Yeah. But it was three. It was three sets, though.
Is that a quarterfinal or semi?
Oh, not sure. I think it's quarters.
We know Parks is going to play a double, so yeah, shouts out to her.
At least she put in some matches in, but yeah.
And then yeah, next week now we've got Abu Dhabi. So
Abu Dhabi.
Osaka, she's back. Paolini, she's also playing in that, but Osaka, she's playing doubles with Ons Jabeur.
I am so happy about that.
Yeah.
And it's again warning everybody. she's coming to play. I don't think she's ever played doubles. I think she's played doubles years back with her sister.
Yeah, I was going to say with her sister, yeah.
Like years, but I think that's the only time, but no, which I love this. Mm. I really love this.
So that would be nice to see, definitely.
Yeah.
And then we've also got Parks playing next week in Cluj. So she's playing the Transylvania Open. And then, yeah, on the men's side, we've got, it's a big one in Dallas, actually, all the Americans. So Shelton, TFO and Eubanks, they're all playing in Dallas.
Yes.
So yeah, that wraps up this episode, Lucy. Again, sorry I was late, man. It's a good 20 minutes late. I'm so sorry.
All right,
sorry.
Guys, no, listeners.
Cut.
What happened to your New Year resolution, Eugene?
Lucy, man. I know. It's the 1st of Feb, man. Allow me.
Which is exactly a whole month of the year.
You know, we got to wrap up. So yeah,
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Make sure that you have us on social to be, you know, to stay locked in exactly. with everything.
And we've got, obviously, we've got a lot coming up this year. Like, we've got more interviews, like, lined up and, like, just things in the works. So just obviously stay tuned. But yeah, just know that, yeah, things are happening behind the scenes.
All right, dancing. Guys.
Yeah, guys, until next time. Take care.